The Drop with Frank and Brian is officially brought to you by Switch Suspension. Switch Suspension specializes in all vehicle chassis components. Lift kits, lowering kits, air ride suspension, wheels, tires, steering, and brake upgrades. They use all the best products from the best brands. And these guys are truck guys. You roll into their parking lot at the shop and they all drive custom vehicles. So they use their products that they sell on their own vehicles. So if you guys are looking for anything for your vehicles, whether you're just starting out or you just need some replacement parts or whatever, give them a call or visit their website, switchsuspension.com. Cubs game on over here on the screen.
Oh, you are? Don't tell me. I haven't started. I saw a little teaser on Instagram, and I quickly got away from it, so don't say anything.
Oh, the Cubs aren't playing the Dodgers.
That's right. Where's my brain at?
They already beat the pants off of those guys.
I know.
That was very surprising.
It was very surprising.
Not surprising because the Cubs are bad. They have a good team. Mm-hmm. Surprising because the Dodgers are just nervous. They're nerve-wracking to watch.
A couple things. Well, one is funny because Bacon asked in a message. He's like, "So what is it like? What's the dynamic between us two in our sports? Like, do we bet? Like, do you know, are we betting on this or nothing like money or monetary value? Just like whatever." And I was like, "Actually, no. It's more like a friendly banter kind of thing.
Yeah,
like not too serious. We just sort of like.
Well, I don't take sports like that. I'm not.
You are a different kind of sports guy.
Yeah, and I like to feel that I'm."
Better
a true sports fan.
Oh,
because
pretentious, huh? A little pretentious.
No, just because like sports, and when people are die hard for their team,
mm-hmm.
that is like, that's cool. Like I'm die hard for the Cubs, right? But like mm-hmm. the players change so much, like the owners change, the coaches change. So you're just die hard for the city. That's all it is.
Exactly.
So mm-hmm. when you're like, when it's like, I'm this or we're this or whatever. It's just, it's always been a little bit odd to me. So like,
yeah.
I can appreciate other teams, you know what I mean? And mm-hmm. other things like that, where some people are just like, no, like rivalries and things like that. Like it's all fun mm-hmm. and stuff, but I just don't get into it like that.
Yeah. I'm the complete opposite. I'm the complete opposite of everything you just described.
Yeah.
It's just because, you know, being a fan of Los Angeles teams for so long, you tend to kind of get a complex a little bit because, you know, the Lakers, the Dodgers, the Kings to some extent, like these are huge market teams. They're big market teams. So they're known all over the world. So
the Dodgers are called the checkbook team.
Well now, currently, yeah. which used to be the Yankees used to be called that. So it's not a new thing to do all this, you know, but the fact of the matter is liking these teams in a city that not many people like, in a state that many people they don't like, and teams that are large market teams and have been winners for so long, for so many years, you get a complex because like
But I think that's just you though, because like you just said, it's a city that
I can only speak.
A city that no one likes.
Yeah.
Except it's the biggest city where the most people live. And then a state that no one likes, which is the exact same thing there. It's just like the only reason that we're truck people, so we go to truck shows uh-huh. around or in different states, and everyone just talks crap about California. So you take that personally, which it's like projected to the team. You know what I mean? So it's like
right.
It's almost like you're not a fan of your team; you're a mm-hmm. fan of your decision to like your team.
And I think that's actually I think, like you say, that you're a good sports fan and a true sports fan. Like I think it is also me too, because you, like you said, you have to like the team and the city and the culture behind that, because it's all interchangeable. Like people who follow players around, to me, seem a little disingenuous a little bit. You know, like it's like you like this one guy, which I get. And again, I'm like the complete opposite when it comes to that too, because like. If you're on my team, I'm like, yeah. You're not on my team, I'm like, nope. Like,
yeah.
And it's funny because
that's not like a fan of the sport. That's a fan of the decision
your decision. I see what you're saying. What I'm saying? Like, I do it too. Like, if it's like all of these things, mm-hmm. sports, regardless of what it is, trucks, S10s, it doesn't matter what it is. You're just defending your decision. You're not defending the actual product or the actual thing. You're just defending your decision to like that. And you're back. It's like, I'll defend my decision all day long because I think this truck is the best looking truck.
Yeah.
That's not a fact. I'm just saying, like, it's like there's like this deep rooted thing. I think about that quite a bit, you know, like,
well, especially with me.
Yeah.
You know, because I am very, I'm going to bring this level down a little bit. It seems a little up there.
Bring it down a little bit, Frank.
I just noticed it's getting a little hitting red a lot. Hold on, let me see what's going on in here.
Double click that. Make sure your gainers aren't a gaining.
Yeah, I'm on 10.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Cool. All right. There we go. Now we're better.
I'm just getting worked up. My decisions.
No, I don't know. But anyway, yeah, that's just me. I just like I'm very. Like everything that makes up me being me, you know, that's just what it is. That makes me me. But anyway.
Yeah. It's all fascinating.
The Cubs kicked the crap out of the Dodgers.
Yeah.
You know, but if I was to make an excuse, can I make an excuse?
Not if you say the weather.
I am going to say the weather.
That's not an excuse.
But I understand both teams played in the same weather.
Yeah.
I understand that. But to be fair, a little bit to be fair.
No, there is no that. That's it. That's baseball. You still got to play baseball.
No, I know. You still have to play the game. Like, no matter what. Yeah. I mean, you know, some sports like with football, you just keep going and going. Like, doesn't matter what the weather is. But to be fair, the Cubs got most of those runs when the weather wasn't too bad.
Four.
Yeah. I mean, still, that's half the runs.
Yeah, but the Dodgers only got one.
That's true.
So it would be different if, like, the because they only made one error. The Dodgers only made one error based on the weather. The other ones were not based on the weather. It was that last one right before they shut the game down. Even the
it was pretty crazy.
Even the Dodgers coach, he was like, yeah, the other ones were just because the infielders on the Dodgers have been rearranged a little bit.
Yeah.
And they're still kind of getting their feet wet.
Oh.
You like that one?
Yeah, I do like that one.
I was even telling my buddy that was there at the game. I was like, bro, they need to tarp this field. This is getting bad.
It got a little out of hand.
Yeah, but I think they were trying to, the announcers on the Cubs side, since they live there all the time, they were just like, usually these things pass through pretty quick, you guys. But at the last minute, I guess it just stopped
hung on there.
Hmm. I know.
Interesting.
Either way, I like when the two teams play, and it's really cool that they're playing the season opener next year in Tokyo.
Yeah, that is pretty cool. Yeah, that is pretty cool.
Because both teams are have a lot of Japanese, like two Japanese players on each team. They're really doing really good. Like, that's the extent of our banter.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Yeah, there's nothing. I got thick skin being a Los Angeles fan for so long.
And I got thick skin being a Chicago Cubs fan since the 80s.
Yeah.
Because
that's a lot of losing.
Yeah.
But then again, I mean, the Dodgers weren't good for almost 30 years.
Yeah.
So, well, 20 years. But anyway, I digress. I'm moving on. How about these pockets? The last episode looked great.
It did. It did, huh?
It worked out really well.
Like right there. I was like, yeah, didn't have to do too much. I'm like, oh, this is amazing. I like how, so the way this works is we film these, you upload it. I edit the podcast, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of my job with this. And then you, your job with the podcast is to review the podcast, but that's just kind of like on your own time, whatever. Mm-hmm. But you also have another job with this whole thing, which is printing the shirts.
Oh, creating the merch. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I like how my job gets easier with the pockets.
And mine stays the same.
And yours stays is the same.
I mean,
was thinking about that when I was editing. I'm like, oh, this makes my job easier. I was like, I wonder what, oh, we can't do nothing to make Frank's job easier.
Nope.
No.
It just is.
And even
what
we sell more merch, it just makes your job harder. Like,
I mean, they're not wrong. But. Yeah.
But at the same time, it's making money. So,
yeah, no, it's all good. I was pretty stoked about it. And like, having, you know, one audio file and, you know, a few video files makes it a little easier on your end too.
Yeah, it does. It's mostly just lining them up. For some reason, your
do the remember, I'm sorry, I'm going to cut you off, but remember when we, in the beginning, when we started doing this and like I tried to do like one long audio file and it was having a real hard time because it would float away towards the end just because of the, do these tend to do the same thing or are they a little more tight?
No, they're a little more tight. So what would happen is, so your files that you sent me, there was usually in an hour or so episode, there was three videos and three audios and the first one I would line up would never line up right. It would take me, I would have to chop the crap out of it and squish stuff down. But then the second and third one would be fine. So
it's weird.
Yeah, it is. I don't know what it is, but these ones are they're freaking,
seems to be working. Yeah, yeah, it works good. So yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway. 10 minutes in, no one's listening to this anymore.
Yeah. Oh, well, 102. Wait, yeah. 102.
102.
Right. Oh, well, we don't know if this is gonna be 102.
That's what I was going to say too. Right. We don't know when this is dropping.
It actually makes sense for this episode to be 102. And then when we sit down with Lindsay this Sunday, that'd be 103 because I
not
can get
really.
This all. Oh,
because we want to promote that Lindsay's going to be at Mini Nats the Monday.
So the only hiccup is I'm going to have to sign into my YouTube account at your house to upload it to my account.
Yeah. So.
Oh, okay. I don't know. I didn't know if that was going to be too hard. It's not. All right, fine.
It's a username and password, man. It's 2024. Tech has caught up.
Welcome to episode 103. I hope you enjoyed Lindsay's episode last week. We just got back from Mini Nats. I hope that was good.
I hope I have merch for Mini Nats.
Oh, really?
We are coming down. I don't think you're going to be picking anything up for me.
Oh, really? It's coming that close, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
It's Monday before. It's Monday. What is today? April 8th.
8th, yep.
We leave April 15th. None of my stuff has been printed and one hasn't even been drawn.
It still hasn't been drawn.
And the one that Chris drew needs to go in and do the separations and all that. And the person that's drawing my other one also does that.
Oh.
And that person.
That one should, I don't know their process, but that one's pretty easy to separate.
Yeah, I'm assuming it will be, but
yeah.
And then I still have faith, but
oh yeah, I'm sure it'll work out.
That's just going to cost Brandon. He's going to have to ship them to me. That's not my bad.
Yeah, I know. That's kind of the thing, right?
Yeah, I'm just going to have to give him like a list because I don't need all of them because I ordered quite a bit of them. Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to have to be like,
oh, so it's just a partial shipment just to get you the stuff for the show.
Just yeah, exactly. So, yeah. So if you're listening to this after Mini Nats, none of this is making sense.
Yeah.
But
well, it would make sense because they either bought the new stuff or they didn't buy the new stuff.
Yeah, you're either buying it at Mini Nats or online right now.
Yeah, basically. That's been my week, too. Like, I had to put myself on blast a little bit, I had a little bit of a panic, not a full-on panic attack, but a worry yesterday. I was, like, sitting there, and I was like, today's Monday. Like we said, it's April 8th, Monday. We're getting ready to head out this weekend, which would have been 2 weeks ago to go to Havasu. And I was like, dang, am I going to make it? Like, I don't know if I'm going to make it. And I was like having a little bit of
a worry. Anxiety there.
Yeah. A little anxiety, but I got through that and got through today and we're looking pretty good. I still have stuff to do. I still have blanks that are ordered that are coming in. So yeah, I am also coming up down to the wire on it. You know,
are you going to be able to have time to print drop stuff? Because we need gas money.
Yeah, I know. Well, we our stock isn't that bad.
Yeah, it's a mix of old and new, though.
Yeah, it's a mix of old and new.
And there are some sizes that are out. So, I mean, if not, we don't. It is what it is. That's like the last.
We'll see how it
goes. That's kind of the last ditch effort. So,
as I'm making this effort to get there this weekend, I have to start prioritizing things, right?
Yeah.
So, I have to be like, well, What if I don't get to that?
Let's prioritize time. So what do you do at night after you eat dinner?
Go to sleep.
No, because you're sending TikTok messages at midnight.
Oh, okay. Well,
between dinner and you going to sleep, what are you doing?
What does that look like?
Yeah.
It's me relaxing my back, icing my back, and then going to bed. Which I have to do. Like, if I don't do that, then
I'm sure you could take one night and make some t-shirts.
Thanks.
That's I mean, your office isn't that far away from your house.
I'll get right on it.
I'm in my office. I'll go out, eat dinner. Chelsea goes to bed. I'm right back in here editing. Mm-hmm. There is no stopping. Like, there's no way that I can sit out there and watch TV. I can't do it. I don't know what it is, but I cannot. If she's out there, if my wife's out there, yes. But if she's not, like, she's like, hey, I'm going to bed. I'm like, all right, later. And I just turn the TV off, boom, and I come right back in here.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Well, workflows are different, I guess.
Workflows. Not sitting on the couch flows. We got t-shirts to sell, Frank.
Yeah, I'm making it happen. I'll get right on it.
You can watch the Dodger game on your phone in your dungeon, print dungeon. There.
In my print dungeon? Yeah. No, but I think everything will work out. I think
it always does.
Everything will work out. Yeah,
it always does.
And I just had to tell myself, like, look, basically I can only do what I can do. And beyond that, I can't do.
If you're sitting on your couch and you're watching TV, that time can be printing t-shirts. So you can.
It could be.
You can. Yeah. You can. You don't say can't. There is always a can. Hmm. Can. Get Angie out there and tell her to help too.
You're right. But anyway.
So we've got seven drop shirts we're going to sell next weekend, okay? Do
it. We have more than that. We're doing, like I said, we're doing good. We have, yes, it's a mix, but we have, if anybody, we have them in each size. So you either want a new one, you want an old one.
And we have hoodies that we're going to bring too.
Oh yeah, you have the hoodies, huh?
I do have the hoodies, so I'm
gonna, I have the shirts and the hats and the mugs and some keychains, and you have the hoodies.
Yeah, so I think I'm gonna. Okay. I got all my stuff. I had to inventory all my stuff the other day, and got boxes together and all that stuff. And now I'm gonna. My next thing is the hoodies. I'm gonna get them in a tote, get them all organized, and. Because one thing that I've noticed is we do lack on the drop stuff at shows. Like, mm-hmm. we just kind of throw it out there. Like,
yeah.
We got to put it, I think we should put it on a mannequin in between mine and your booth. So it's at least with part of all the t-shirts. So people aren't taking their eyes off and looking somewhere else or whatever.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah. And then I think I'll bring one of the metal things for the hoodies. We'll put the drop hoodies on that. And, yeah, I'm going to have a bunch of $10 shirts. So,
cool. Yeah. My clearance rack is always kind of going. So I'll have some clearance stuff too. Have a $5 bin. Have the whole thing going on.
Last weekend, we don't even know. We don't even
know. Yeah, we don't even know what happened.
The future, and we're talking about the past and the future and something. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, welcome to this week's episode. But we do have some leftover questions from last week if you want to get into those.
Want me to hit the drop?
Yeah, might as well. This might be a 4 or 5 minute episode. Go.
Ready.
Dropped. I don't know where we left off last week. I think we left off with Ben's questions.
Yeah, I think we did answer Ben's questions for sure.
Yeah, yeah, we left off with Ben answering Ben's questions, which now 2 weeks later after. Mini Nats, I hope you made it.
Wait.
What about, I had a thought, Amal, because we really don't, I mean, look, you can only go by off of social media and like stuff like that. What about this all a ruse and this truck has been done for like 2 months?
I know, right?
Right? And he's just been uploading these videos, you know?
Yeah.
Why is this peaking so much? Why is things peaking? Check, 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 check. There we go. Might be a little peaky this episode.
Uh-oh. Peaky Frank? Blurry Brian Peaky and Frank. Peaky Frank?
But yeah, sorry. I might be just assaulting the ears for the last 20 minutes or so.
I mean, the good thing is we can re-record this episode if it goes to hell.
That's true.
This is a trash this is
sort
episode.
Of like, this is sort of like in the pocket.
This is like, what's that? I just, the money that goes into like a jar in the break room. Petty cash? This is like a petty episode.
Oh, petty cash. Oh, okay. I think all of our episodes are petty episodes. That's a good point. That's a really good point. Well, all right. Well, all right. We'll see what's happening. So starting off strong, this is from Built by Sliff on Instagram. And he asks, if you could put any wheels on your current builds, 4Runner and Tacoma, what would they be? And then he has a follow-up question. Also, if anyone has 20-inch KMC units, hit me up.
I have the wheels that I really wanted to put on my Tacoma. That's why I picked those wheels. And that's I spent money to get them repaired and sandblasted and then powder coated.
Which are?
The Enke LM1s in 20s with center caps.
Yeah.
So they're pretty
non-chrome.
They all came in chrome, and they all, a lot of 18s are out there. But the center caps are missing. So 20s, I don't know if it's rare or not, but that's, I had 18-inch chrome LM1s on my Tacoma when I first built it, when it was red. And to me, with Toyotas, it's hard to find a wheel that, like, I don't like wheels that are too front wheel drive don't have a lot of depth or whatever, you know? So
they're very flat.
They're very flat. Yeah. So it's just one of those things where I think if I could have any wheel, like if money was not an object, I would get like an AG, like an avant-garde wheel.
Yeah.
In a 20 with a lip, like a 1 or a 2-inch lip all the way
built
around.
Built to your truck.
Built to the truck and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And that would be like, on a future build, if I could put any wheel on there, it would be something like that. Something like a BBS mesh style wheel, but I don't know.
Yeah. Well, don't forget, you actually had another set of wheels on your Tacoma too, before those, the ones you have on it now are those. Do you remember those? The Giovannis or Giovannas?
Yeah,
17. Those were good looking wheels.
They were cool.
That photo that got posted a couple weeks ago of your truck at Forbidden Fantasy 2002, that had those wheels on it.
Yep. That was, I put those in the category of wheels I used to like that I do not like anymore, but I still like, So like there's all these wheels like Lexani's and, some of the Albas and some of the KMCs, like even the units, like I don't like units. I don't like them. I think I used to like them. It's like, I don't hate them. But there's some things that used to, like tweed interior, used to be cool, and I used to be excited about it. But now, I'm not going to build something now and put those wheels on it. Yeah. They're just not. There's way better looking wheels out there than to try to be nostalgic, I guess.
Right.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. Now, funny, I've told this story before, but funny thing about those wheels is you sold those wheels, and like kind of before I knew you. Like, kind of knew you, but kind of didn't know you. You sold those wheels, and me and my buddy went down to your house and bought those wheels off you.
Yeah.
And they ended up on his Ranger that he totaled later on. But, wheels for me. I have to say this in the beginning. I don't have good taste in wheels. I just don't. Like, and I can't. I'm trying. I'm really trying to understand what good wheels look like, but I always revert to I don't understand. Because, like, sometimes I see wheels that everybody are like, oh, dude, these are so sick. And I'm like, I don't know, man. Like, I don't know. I don't know if my tastes are like simplified or what, but I like 5-spoke chrome wheels.
I think
that's what I like.
Same here. I do. I love 5, like Enke LM1s are 5-spokes. Mm-hmm. Like a classic 5-spoke wheel is the best looking wheel on a Toyota pickup truck or on a lot of things. Different.
A lot of different things. Yeah. The wheels that I have on the 4Runner right now, I really like. Mm-hmm. Those are old man Dave's favorite wheels.
Yep.
And he had to find another set for his Mazda that he's currently building.
Yep.
I really like those. My favorite wheels of all time are Alba Banks, which is what I have on the Camry.
Yeah.
Funny enough. Like, see, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't have good taste.
Well, so, it's not that you don't have a good taste. It's just you just have different taste. But like,
yeah,
my tastes or wheels are so important to a vehicle. It's like music, and it's like making music and putting it on a video. Okay. There's great music and then there's great content, but those two you can't just slap them together.
Right.
Right. So there's great looking wheels and there's a great looking truck, but putting them together, they're not going to look good.
Yeah.
The wheel has to fit the vehicle, you know? So it's, especially if you're running like an 18, you don't want to run like a full face wheel, because it's going to make the wheel look small. So if you want to run an 18 to make it look like 20, run a thinner spoke wheel, give it a little bit of gap between the hub and the outer barrel and stuff like that. So like that's I think that's my thing, is like, I don't want to buy a wheel just because I like the wheel. I want to buy a wheel because it goes with the vehicle.
Right.
So there could be a wheel that I like more than the Enke's, but that's not the wheel that I want on that Tacoma, if that makes any sense.
No, it makes perfect sense. And that's what I'm lacking. I don't understand that. And maybe I'll figure it out one day. But the funny thing about the Banks is like with Alba's, like I love Alba Banks, but I don't like Bertha's. So like people will send me pictures of like, oh, check out this. It's on Alba's. And I'm like, yeah, but those are Bertha's. Like,
you don't want to know a crazy wheel that I really like. It was one of my favorite and still is, but only on certain vehicles is the KMC Alphs.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So like
those are very interesting wheels.
They are. They're crazy. But like they would look terrible on my truck, but they looked cool on Finnegan's truck.
Yeah, they did look good
because
on that
he had
truck.
This wild paint job with these wild wheels. And then my buddy had a Civic, like a 4-door Civic, late 90s, and he put those on there, and it looks so good. I don't know if it would look good now. Maybe if I saw it now, I'd be like, I don't know. Maybe I
When Whitby had that graphiced out Tacoma, it looked good on that one.
Yeah.
I think those look better than the billets that were on it or are on it currently. I don't know what wheels are on it now. Yeah. But definitely Civics. And Accord wagons.
Yeah.
Like those things look sick on Accord wagons too. So, which Whitby also had. But yeah.
Well, now Duggar has it.
Yeah. Duggar has that thing now. That's awesome. Yeah. That is super cool.
He's way cooler than Whitby. Just kidding. But no, like that car is super sick.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Then they look good on there. It's like the wheel has to fit the car and you can't just be like, oh, well, I have this set sitting here and I have this, like, you can't just put them together. Cause I think that's where like you just were like, well, I have these wheels. I'll just put them on instead of like pursuing the actual wheel that you want.
Right. But the funny thing is I slapped those on the Camry and I love it. It looks,
but the Camry could, cool. It is cool, but the Camry doesn't have to be anything except a Toyota Camry. Just,
yeah.
The 4Runner has to be something that you like look at.
You know what's
at.
Funny? I don't think I would want to put Banks on the 4Runner.
No, I don't think the wheels you have on good. The wheels that I think you have on there now are perfect.
Yeah, me too. I don't think I'd want to change them for anything. I don't think I'd want to change them for anything else, to be honest with you.
And like maybe another a different style 5-spoke. You know, like
maybe
like something 5-spoke-esque, but like yeah, I don't think there's anything that's else is cuz what are we going to put on there like yeah, there's not much. What's crazy is like tri-spokes on like Mazda that Jeremy mm-hmm. built. Like that looks super sick.
Oh, I know, it looks so good. And that's one of my favorite trucks.
Yeah, and then the one from Severed, Steve Lang's the white Toyota on the tri-spokes.
His white Toyota on tri-spokes, and then that red. Did he just finish that car?
Oh yeah.
Was that the first time he showed that car?
So that Accord that he brought out was building it for the 2020 Forbidden Show.
Really?
It was a bunch of his buddies. They were all doing it. And then right when we canceled the show, they stopped and they never touched it again until we announced that it was going back to the Avi. And then they kind of just went whoop and right back on it.
That car was so sick.
Now that car, like billets are hard to pull off on cars, but that's a perfect thing where you like might not like the wheels off the car, but you like that. It just made that car.
It just fits. It just fits on that car.
Yeah.
It's sort of like that other Accord, the newer Accord. I don't know where it's from, but it's also red. It's got graphics. We see it at Mininats.
Oh, yeah. There's another one up in the Northwest, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, another Accord.
That's funny.
It's a 2-door, I think. Yeah.
Is Steve Lang, that's the name Steve Lang?
Yep.
Okay. So he has the white truck, the white second gen, I guess you would say, Toyota. Then he has that red car. Does he also have the Mazda? Is that his too? The yellow Mazda?
No, or
is that
someone else's? That's somebody else's in the club.
That's someone else's.
Yeah. That's another one that like
yeah,
those
thing
wheels
looks so good on those wheels. Like,
again, it's wheels are that thing that you really have to sit back and when you make a decision to buy the wheels, they might not be your like you could be like, these are my favorite wheels and this is the truck that I have, but my favorite wheels, they might not look good on this vehicle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like so you gotta really kind of mess with your head a little bit there.
Yeah.
And then money when it comes to money too, because that's the best like 18s, you can find 18s like kind of all day long, but not really all day long anymore. You're kind of stuck with some of the older wheels because it's like they don't just don't make a lot of 18s anymore.
Right, yeah. A lot of them are like 20s and up.
Yep.
So, and also to answer this person's question, if he's looking for a set of 20-inch units, hit up Jaime. Jaime Silva probably has a set somewhere or knows of a set somewhere. yeah. that he can get.
Those are wheels that come up all the time. Again, are the center caps are hard to find on those too, I think?
I would imagine.
Yeah.
Center caps in general are hard to find.
You can get them made, but they're going to cost you more than the wheel was.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I thought I messed up a cap on the Camry, on the banks, and because it I took it to a discount tire shop, and then they stripped the bolt going into it. And I was like, man, what am I going to do? So I thought the cap might have to cut the cap off or something. I don't know what I was going to do. So I looked at caps, and I was like, man, there are no caps out there for those things. The only one I found was scratched to shit.
Yeah. But yeah, that's the thing. If you can find wheels with caps, get them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And hold on to them. I check those caps all the time because I'm like, I don't want to lose one of these things. But yeah, so yeah, wheels. I don't know. Refine my taste.
No, it's just a fun topic. It's like, it's not even your taste. It's just you. I don't know what it is. You know, it's like you never really had to buy you never sat back and were like, okay, I'm gonna seek out this set of wheels.
I think that's what it is. I've only ever done what you're describing, which I have these wheels, I have this truck, and just put them on there and just kind of convince myself to like them. You know what I mean? I think that's what it is. Maybe one of these days when the next thing that I build or whatever, maybe I'll take some more time to check it out. But yeah, I think you're right. I think that, and I think I've had that since like my background in this whole thing about just like, you know, trading trucks and buying whatever trucks. I think that's maybe why my mentality has gotten to where it's gotten.
Yeah.
Because I've only ever just like procured gotten things that are just like, you know, this is what I have, deal with it kind of thing.
Yeah. And it's like, you're not going to go and put $3,000-$4,000 set of wheels on something that didn't cost you $3,000 or $4,000.
That's true.
Like you're
that's true.
That in your brain, that does not make any sense.
Right.
Right. I mean, that doesn't make any sense in my brain either. Like I know moving forward, the Tacoma was a special truck. Mm-hmm. And the OBS is an easy, I already have the wheels for that.
Yeah.
And Chevys are easy for wheels. You just go, you could put a set of cheap US mags and they look cool. You know, like
that's the thing that like with the OBS, the wheels that you picked out for that look good. That picking out wheels and having them and getting them, they don't have to be expensive.
No.
Cause the wheels you got, I'm not saying that you got cheap wheels. They're good wheels, but like they're not like crazy wheels. They just look good.
Yeah. 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 For sure. And wheels. And here's another thing. Secondhand wheels. Mm-hmm. You know, getting wheels cheap because you can get them repaired, you know, $400 or $500 can get them.
Oh, yeah.
So if you can save $2,000 on a set of wheels and then get them repaired, mm-hmm. you know, it depends on where you live. You know, some places don't have.
Well, if you live in SoCal, just go take whatever you got to Hyman. He will fix them and make them brand new wheels.
Exactly,
again.
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah. You know, I just had a thought to answer that person's other like thing that I've kind of taken a liking to. If you were just throwing money at something, those guys on Instagram and stuff who take like old OEM wheels and mm-hmm. then cut them apart and make them like 2 and 3 piece wheels.
Love those.
Those are super cool.
I think those are super that cool. Is where I would go too. Like if money wasn't a thing, I think if I like had like a Toyota pickup and I was like, I want wheels, like go get super wheels and make them go mm-hmm. from 16s and make them 18s or something. Yeah.
So there you go. Yeah. That answers that dude's question, hopefully. What else we got? By Felicia, by 3 Felicia.
Yep.
Says, will Frank ever body drop a tractor? I mean, yeah.
After sure. he puts wheels on it.
Yeah, after he puts wheels on it. Hey, the tractor has 2-piece wheels, okay? So
there you go.
My tractor already has cooler wheels than my truck. S_10_kid asks, can y'all do an interview of Mike Finnegan of his history of Mini Truckin' Magazine? Yeah, that's definitely on our short list that we need to do.
Someone messaged the drop page today and asked about if we could get some East Coast people on here because and I said, that's 100% in our plans. We just have to, make kind of a game plan when we have some downtime, like. Once this next few months wrap up, we mm-hmm. can kind of go, okay, do we have an extra 5 days to make some kind of trip and then, and an interview, you know, 5 or 6 people from back East. So that's definitely on our thing. And Finnegan, we will work around his schedule to get him on too. And then I want to mm-hmm. there's a couple other people that I have in mind too, but yeah,
that'd be cool. We've been talking about that for a while. That's sort of like the next gear of what we want to do with guests and stuff, because we've already kind of like accomplished it, you know, doing guest episodes and traveling and meeting them in their own space, and like, you know, it's really cool to do it that way. So that's sort of just like the next gear.
And we kind of wanted to not perfect it, but like get as many bugs out of it as, because if you come out here, or I come to you, and we do a guest episode and it doesn't go well, something happens, we could just do it again at some other point. It's not like if we go to Finnegan or we go out to whoever, like that's a little bit of more expensive to screw up. So now that we've kind of got this thing down for the most part, we're a little more confident, I guess.
Yeah. We'll see how that goes after, like you said, after this round of shows. Our buddy Kay Faring asks, when choosing a tire, do you go with a super low profile tire or higher profile tire for potholes?
I don't know. Each application is different.
I don't know. Like, I could be wrong on this. This is just, again, my backwards thinking. It could be. But you know, that's why like the 4Runner is built for 20s, but I have 18s on it with a fat tire. Cause my thinking is, I mean, you drive around the freeways around here, they are jacked.
Yeah.
So I always thought that like, maybe it'll give me a little extra, you know, not an uh-oh, but then again, on the other side of the coin, I've had 20s on the Camry for almost having it now for 10 years and I've never hit a pothole hard enough to mess anything up. So
is the Camry lowered or stock suspension?
It's stock suspension.
So it could probably soak up a bump a little bit better than the...
That's true.
...than that one. But, like, yeah, I'm a fan of whatever tire... Again, this each truck needs something different, right? So, like, I've seen two low-profile stuff on trucks, and then I've seen the tires too fat on trucks.
Yeah.
So I think it's like an in-between thing. It's like, okay, how much are you going to drive it? Is your budget allow you to repair a wheel if something happens? If you have money, then it doesn't matter. Do whatever you know what I mean? But if you're like, ooh, if I'm really mess one of these wheels up, I'm kind of in trouble, then you might want to get a little bit of a sidewall on there.
Even, you know, I was thinking like even Eric in the club, his Sierra is on 20-inch billets with a fairly good sized tire on it. And he still bends the crap out of those things.
Yeah.
He has to like true them like every couple of years.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think it's just, I don't know. I don't think it.
I think it just depends on the look of the vehicle, because there are like, okay, Joey's Tacoma, he just put lower profiles on the front. His truck had too big of tires on the front.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So looks wise. So you kind of sometimes you have to sacrifice safety would this be the safety of your wheels for looks, right? There's kind of that like middleman there. Like if you're never going to drive it, then it doesn't matter. But if you are going to drive it, then you've got to like go, okay, well, how important is the look versus an accident?
Or just whatever, wrist bending the wheels, watch where you're going. Moving right along, Burrell Images.
Oops. Brandon Burrell.
Yep. Has Brian ever made someone decide to trade in their car due to him drifting it? I feel like that's a personal story.
That wasn't me. I was in the passenger seat. We were at Heritage, and we were up on a hill, and Brandon, he's a photographer. He was the editor of Street Trucks, touchy subject, but there was, he was doing a photo shoot up on this mountain, and I needed to do rolling shots of something. So I was like, hey, can we hop in your car and I can do rolling shots of this truck going down this mountain? And he's like, so we do it. And then on the way back up, they're all standing in the middle of the street on this mountain, right? Like, Mike Alexander was driving and was going, I don't know how fast, and then pulled the e-brake and spun the car around.
Oh.
And I guess we put flat spots in the tire. I don't know.
Oh, well, at least you didn't wreck it.
Well, I think honestly, Brandon's very, detail oriented, orientated. Mm-hmm. And I think he was more upset that I think Mike dropped a jelly bean or something in between the seat and the thing. So I think that's more why he traded it in.
Oh, I see. Just, yeah, he's all, that's it. Yeah, this is over.
Can't do it.
Can't do no more. Man, we're really not eating up time here.
No, we're doing good.
We are. We are?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, this is an interesting username. Rev Limit Soldier.
Soldier. Like
Yeah. Rev limit sold you. Single cabs or extra cabs? What would make you choose one over the other? You and I have very different opinions about those.
I just prefer the look. So again, like I prefer the look of a standard cab because I think that's the quintessential mini truck.
Right.
And I think it looks sportier and I like sporty things. You know what I mean? Versus like, whatever, but at the end of the day, extra cabs are equally as dope to me.
That's true. Yeah.
I just didn't have an extra cab when I bought my Tacoma. If I went to the dealer to buy my truck and I bought a standard cab, if I would have bought an extra cab, I would be building an extra cab right now.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, I'm the same way. Like I'm exactly the opposite too. Cause I've only ever had extra cab trucks and never had a standard cab truck. I had one standard cab. I had a hard body that was a standard cab, but mostly all extra cabs. And yeah, I just like the look. I like the longer kind of look of it.
More options.
I like being, you know, yeah, having put subs back there or something, or, you know, there's just kind of extra room. But I do understand what you're saying about the standard cab look though, because when, especially like now that everything are quad cabs and, you know, like those tiny little double cabs and quad, like big door quad cabs, it's really interesting when you see a standard cab version of a truck. Like when you see a standard cab F-150 or you see a standard cab Silverado or even a Tundra, like it kind of like you're like, whoa, it kind of like you look, you kind of like changes.
Yeah, because the entire dynamic of the way we have vehicles now has changed. But the OBS is an extra cab. I would have preferred a standard cab because of value.
Oh, so standard cabs are worth more.
Standard cabs are worth more. And then crew cabs are worth more. And then the extra cabs are not. But that also is kind of cool because I don't have to like we could just cut in. We're just going to cut into that thing because it's just an extra cab.
Oh, right. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So if it was a stand, it's like if you were building an old car and you had two trims and one trim was more valuable than this trim, the one that's not as valuable, you just lay that sucker out and do whatever you want to it. Cut holes in it, do whatever. You would be less willing to do that to the more valuable because it would take the value out of it.
Right.
So on the Chevy trucks, that's kind of where that's at. But mini trucks, I want to do an extra cab because I want a big stereo system and something soon.
Mm-hmm. But you want to build like a hard body extra cab, don't you?
No.
I remember you saying that one time.
I would like to do a hard body extra cab four wheel drive.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that'd be cool.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool.
Yeah. Do some videos on that and then sell it. And yeah.
Yeah. That's interesting about the OBS because like I don't like standard cab OBS trucks. It's funny that they're like worth money and, you know, they're all this stuff, but because my first truck was a extra cab OBS truck.
Yeah.
So I just like anytime and Dwight's truck is an extra cab OBS truck. And every time I drive that thing, it just takes me back to my first one.
Yeah.
And so I just like especially OBS trucks being like Danny's truck is super cool.
Yeah.
And especially like in Danny's truck, it has the bench seat in it, which my very first one had like a 60-40 bench in it, you know,
I like bench seats in the extra cab OBSs where it's a bench in the front and then a bench in the back. And I've gone back and forth on mine because mine's a
90. Yeah, because yours is like captain's chairs, right?
In the front. Yeah. So like mine is a 95. So the extra cab doors don't open. So getting back there sucks.
Yeah.
So it's not like I'm going to pile some buddies in there and we're going to go do anything. So I'm like, should I just take that seat out and just put like a bunch of stereo stuff back here? But then I'm like,
cool.
No, I'm going to keep the seat. I'll just put some stereo stuff underneath it. Yeah.
Yeah. My first truck, my OBS, my first truck, that's what I would do. I just like pile. And that's what you do when you're young. You just pile. And that's why, I don't know. I think that's like one of the reasons why my love for like extra cab trucks and four door cars is because like I always had friends. We were always going places. And, you know, I was like one of the only ones who had a vehicle. So we'd all pile in my car or truck or whatever. And so, yeah, I guess maybe that's why subconsciously I like that kind of stuff. But I would do the same thing. Like I'd either pile a bunch of people in it. And I got really good at like taking out the back seat out of that truck. Cause like a couple bolts, you can have it out. And then I would just slide the sub box in and have subs or not subs.
Yeah. Well, it's funny.
Lots of options. I like options.
Going back to like the sports conversation we had, this is kind of based on that. We like things that we grew up with. So our decisions are based on that. Like you could be like, well, I like extra cabs more than standard cabs because I grew up with extra cabs.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's almost like a, that's where our decision making comes from.
Yeah. Makes sense. So
it's like my first truck was a standard cab Nissan 720. And then my first mini truck that I had lowered and modified was a standard cab 86 Toyota pickup truck.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know.
I've said this before, but when my family used to have their vintage car lot, and I used to deal, you know, like sell cars and stuff and be there a lot, they used to have these old heads come on and talk like that about, like, I had this car, you know, when I was a kid. And being young, you're just like, yeah, whatever, man. Just and now, whatever. Are you going to buy this thing or not? And now I am that person. But except for it's not a 53 Chevy. It's a 92 OBS truck.
Or like the Chevy guys. Like, mm-hmm. They're Chevy guys because they grew up with Chevys.
Right. Yeah, we've talked Ford about guys that before.
Grew up with Fords. It's not.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, imagine like a 35 or 40 year old dude has never been involved in vehicles at all. Like, where does his decision come from? Where does his, mm-hmm. like, where, if he were to be like, oh, I want to get into trucks, and you don't tell him anything about it, and based on looks, he would make these decisions,
mm-hmm.
you know, because yeah, that's always interesting, especially when it's like same with sports. When people are like, my team is the best, or I this or this, or Chevys are the best. It's like, you're just basing that decision because of your experiences.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's not like a, I don't know. It's just like a fascinating thing to me.
No. Yeah. It makes total sense. We've had that discussion before about why possibly the C10 world is so huge right now, because those Gen X age dudes, they didn't grow up in, you know, like, old, you know, 50 Chevys or anything. They grew up in square body C10s, you know?
And yeah, that's what, like, their dad had for work, and that's what their dad took him to school in. My dad took me to school in a 76 Datsun, and we went to Yosemite, and I camped in the back of a 76 Datsun pickup. We didn't have a Chevy truck. If we would have had a Chevy truck, we might not even be having this conversation right now. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
that's where, like, when I was 16 and my first vehicle, all my dad ever had was standard cab, base model, heater trucks, because he would drive from Riverside or Moreno Valley to downtown Los Angeles every day for work. So he needed the cheapest, most economical thing he could get. And that was a little $6,000 mini truck.
I wonder now if my kids are going to be like, I love 05 Nissan Titans. That's the plan. Like, once my kid is about to start driving soon, you know, and I'm already like that, setting the paces for her her first truck is going to be the Nissan Titan.
You know, when I turned 16, gas was 99 cents a gallon to $1.20 a gallon. And I had a Nissan pickup that got, you know, running around town, didn't get. Gas is five something a gallon
where you live. And I'm giving her
giving her this truck that gets 12 miles to the gallon around town. Hey. Like, she's going to be like, I can't afford to go anywhere. Winning.
Yeah. Do you see what I'm doing here? Like, when I was young too, gas was super cheap and whatever. And we used to drive everywhere.
Yeah.
She's not going to be able to afford to go anywhere. All part of the plan. Can I drive the Camry? Get such no. You got to put gas in that thing.
Back in the day, you're like, hey, mom, can I get $10? And now you're like, hey,
can
dad,
I have $100? Can I have
$100?
Yeah, it's gonna be funny. It's gonna be interesting. Yeah. I'm actually kind of curious to see how all that shakes out.
Has she even tried to open the driver's side door?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, she's going to rip her arm out of her socket.
I'm actually pretty soon going to take her to the big field across the street.
The gym, and so she could start lifting weights to open the driver's door?
Yeah, basically. I'm gonna let her drive it around, see how she likes it.
Oh, yeah.
It's a vehicle. She's going to have to like it. How about that?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Figure it out.
Yeah, figure it out. I don't know. Yeah. If you want to go somewhere.
And that's the thing about being 16 years old.
Mm-hmm.
You will figure it out. No matter what. That's a four-door truck. Your four of your friends all pitch in $20. You got a full tank of gas.
Yep.
And you can go 300 miles.
Mm-hmm. So, 250 miles.
300. Come on.
Push it to the limit.
My Titan goes 350 to 370 miles on a tank. You want to know why?
Yeah, I guess I have.
I don't drive
foot.
Like a maniac.
Yeah, I know. I guess yeah. I just I stomp that.
Well, no, there's no. Yeah, and there's also this disconnect between your brain and your foot. When you drive, you just get in and you just go, "Gwah!" into the stop sign and "Bruh!" and then "Gwah!" and I'm like, "All right."
Hey, that's I'll put myself fully out there. Me and Angie. That's why.
But that's because you guys
brakes like crazy.
Well, you guys drive every. You guys drive mostly every day. She drives every day. Chelsea's the same way. She drives like a maniac. But it's because you drive every day. I don't drive every day. So when I'm driving like a grandpa, I'm just like do.
Just putting along.
Yeah, but if you drive and have to deal with people all the time, like it messes with your psyche, and you're just like, get out of my way. I need to get to where I need to get to.
And also, you know what I've noticed lately and what I'm going to miss once we eventually get into something else? I'm going to miss that V8, dude.
Yeah.
It's fast.
Yeah.
It's a fast truck. Yeah. And it moves. And that's like when I go from that to the Camry, it's just like when you take for granted just how much power is behind that thing.
Yeah.
So I don't know. But we'll see. Hold on. That's not all the questions. There are more. Not that one. Milan asked, this is just joking, kind of fun. He says, can you guys play some sort of music or of loud bass in your podcast? I want to hear what you have to say, but also want to bump when I'm cruising. It's weird when I pull up to a light and everyone can hear your voices and then the thumps of your hands hitting the table and not my awesome system. And he follows that up with do better.
Yeah. We try to do better, man. We put the drop song in here.
Yeah, play that. When you pull to a stop sign, get to that point, play that. I don't know how much bass is in that.
Yeah. Or how about you do better, Mike Milan?
Yeah. He does
listen,
do pretty good.
Listen,
talk about a guy with excellent taste in wheels.
Well, he has a little bit bigger of a budget. than both of us.
I thought you were going to go a totally different way with that. You're like, well... Not really.
Oh, no, he does, but he pays for it. Mm-hmm. Those are not cheap wheels.
And then we can finish on this one. This is a great question, and this is from our friend Stuart from KIK. First of all, he said, congratulations on 100 episodes. So thanks, man. Appreciate that.
Thanks. Oh, there are a couple more questions in here, too. I screenshot.
Oh, you are?
Yep.
Oh, well, then go ahead. Well, we'll save his
for that?
Last, yeah.
NR Jordan.
Oh yeah.
Does it ever get irritating filming or shooting shows with all the people walking around?
Oh yeah, I forgot to screen cap that one. no, it's actually not. I was thinking about this because I had read that question. The only time it was like super frustrating is at like SEMA, when there's just like too many people. It's just like bricks of masses of people moving around. But other than that, I'm not the kind of guy who gets all upset at a show if people are like.
No.
Number one, they're there to enjoy the show. Like, I'm there to, like, we're both there. Me being there is no more important than them being there enjoying the show.
Exactly. So it's like, and then use the people to your advantage.
And I've learned that. You taught me that. Yeah.
Use that. Yeah, and so, then for big shows like SEMA and stuff, you have to get a wide angle lens. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, you're not going to get, and you get there early and stay late. Like it's kind of up to you to maneuver the people. Like you said, people walking in front of you, they're not doing it on purpose.
Oh yeah.
You know, like I walk in front of people all the time on total accident. I am more cognizant about it. So I will like walk around someone that's taking a photo with their phone or whatever. But,
Yeah, I try to be like a little more. That's the other side of it. Being in the space of like creating content and doing this, I try to be even more courteous with people with phones and stuff because they're essentially doing the same thing I'm trying to do.
Yeah.
Just try to take cool pictures and share it with their friends, you know?
Yeah. Like just be patient. Like if you set up for the shot you want and then wait, and you don't have to wait very long, and people will get out of your way. And then same with the next one. So you have to be like patient. Plan your shot, get it set up, wait, do your shot, and then move on.
And then, like you said, even using it to your advantage, like it's really cool sometimes when you get a shot of like there's a mass of people, and then as that they're breaking away, you kind of like get in, you know, on the vehicle. It kind of creates a cool shot. So
it does. Yeah, for sure. There was another one about California and being expensive and moving.
Oh, okay.
Did you see that one?
No, I did not.
You didn't see that one? Actually.
No,
I don't know why I saw it. I just was like on there today. It was like, I forgot who asked. It was someone from Severed, I think. But he said, basically, would you ever think about moving out of state because of the rising costs in California? And I was like, I already know Frank's answer is no. Yeah.
No.
I don't live in California. But
you know, I was thinking real quick off topic. I think you're coming upon your 10-year anniversary living in Arizona, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, this year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the thing that is such an interesting question to me because there it's not just one layer of like, oh, it's expensive here. I'm going to move and everything will be better. Try that and then give us a call and let us know how that goes because price is expensive everywhere. You know, like it's doesn't matter where you are. Yeah, it might be cheaper to buy a house or gas might be cheaper, but is your opportunity cheaper? Depending on what your occupation is, how much money are you going to make? Like if you have a shop, how many customers are you going to get through the door every day? If you go from a city with a population of millions to a city with populations of thousands, you know what I mean? Like, it's like that question is so, it's such a multi-layered question.
Yeah. That's a hard, I can just speaking, just like touching on it. One, I love it here. Like I get that question asked to me too, as we travel and we go to these different places, because people, you know, naturally assume like, hey, you see so many parts of the country. Are you like, do you want to move or have you fallen in love with one particular place? And although while I do enjoy traveling, I love checking out different places. Some of my favorite states, you know, are like Nashville in Tennessee and
Nashville's
Louisiana.
Not a state, but it's all right.
Nashville in Tennessee. Nashville in Tennessee is what I meant to say.
No,
I know.
Yeah. Like Maggie Valley is beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, like, and even like Louisiana, I love Louisiana. Yeah, that's like a cool state.
Yeah.
But the farther I go out and travel, the more it just pushes me.
Yeah.
It doesn't necessarily push me back to where I'm from, but it makes me appreciate where I'm from, you know?
Yeah. And I think if you live in California and you have experienced California and then you want to move out of California for whatever reason it is, I think you should do it because you should be happy where you're living. You know what I mean? And there's so much cool stuff out there to see and experience and live. You know what I mean? Like, I'm super glad that I moved to Arizona just because it's like I did 36 years where I lived in California.
Right.
I'm not far from it now, but it's like, it's no more cheaper to live out here than it is in California.
Yeah.
It's like, it's all whatever, you know what I mean? That's all a whole different thing. Like, all people always ask me like, aren't you glad you got out of California? And I'm like, no, it wasn't actually the only reason I moved to Arizona was because Chelsea's job. You know, I would move back to California. Like, I love California. I love Riverside. I love San Diego. Like, is it expensive? Yeah, but you make more money. So like, it just kind of offsets it. You know, I'm not going to live in Newport Beach.
I know, right?
If I had the money to live in Newport Beach, you would never see me.
Right, I would not leave.
No, I'm not going to record a podcast. I'm going to sit on the beach or in the back of my yard of my house and never talk to anyone again.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but I thought that was an interesting question. It's always asked of us, like, you know, and I think that's where I get defensive too when people say that. It's just like, you know, like, oh, California this or California that. It's just like, calm down. Hey,
Just calm down. Just exist, man.
Yeah.
Whatever makes you happy.
Yeah,
where I am, I'm very happy.
Yeah,
I'm not. I don't wake up angry. I mean, I do wake up angry for other reasons, but not because of my environment. Love my environment.
Yeah,
but yeah, no. And the same thing. That when people ask me that, I'm like, nope. I like where I'm at. I'm very deeply rooted here. I love every bit of it. And yeah, I'm not gonna go. Can't make me go, man.
Yeah.
So. But yeah, you want to answer Stuart's question or do you want to save that for another day?
No, we're on the hour. Let's get Stuart's in.
All right, let's do it. So like I said, so first of all, he says, congratulations on 100 episodes, also with another successful FFF show. So thank you and thank you.
Yep.
When Brian talked about the show grounds and having more room by the boat ramp and his hopes of pulling in a big vendor, what do you consider constitutes a big vendor? Is it a corporate vendor? Size of booth, well-known company or brand, a vendor that has never attended, or whatever the current hype vendor is?
Yeah, I actually responded to him on this.
Yeah, I saw that.
But it's a good question to ask.
No, that's a great question. Yeah.
What happened at Forbidden Fantasy this year was we have the grass area and the asphalt area. The asphalt area usually has a gate that runs down the center because they want to keep the boat ramp open. 3 days before the show, they told me, hey, you can have the whole parking lot. Or actually 2 days before the show. And so they're going to close the boat ramp. That leaves us more space. So now moving forward, we can fill that parking lot up. And what I want to do is that parking lot, when you come to the Forbidden show, if you're painted, you go on the grass. If you're not painted, you go on the asphalt. And sometimes the people on the asphalt might seem a little like separated from the show.
Like their club and
like
stuff.
Like they're not, it's not part of the show or it's a parking lot or type thing. So my thing, my idea in my head is if we can make that asphalt area kind of like put a big vendor out there. And when I say big, I mean large as in physical large, like a Meguiar's diesel truck with a big overhang and a bunch of cars out there. That's kind of what I was saying. So big as in obviously big as in corporate probably because they're the most of the ones that have the big diesel trucks, but big as in physical because if imagine you pulling up to the show in your truck and they're like, oh, you can't park on the grass. You got to park out there. And you look out there and you see now all these big vendors and you're like, oh, okay, that's cool too. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I see what you're saying. Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah. I don't know what for me, but besides that, just my opinion or what I think of what makes a big vendor. I don't know. I think Stuart's a big vendor. You know, he's got his trailer and stuff, and you know, he goes to a lot of shows. And yeah, I don't really know what makes like, what I would think a big vendor would be.
Big, yeah. I think when I always think big, I think diesel truck.
Yeah, you that know, makes sense.
You pop up the big thing like West Coast Customs used to do, Meguiar's or Mother's. You know, you think of those SEMA trucks that just the rigs that come in and Kindigit. Something like that, you know,
or maybe even what he's saying, like maybe like a corporate sponsor, like if you got Monster to come out or like
those are
something like that.
Yeah, but they usually don't bring a big physical presence. And that's what I want.
Well,
I
guess the Monster one does is when they do like off-road stuff.
Yeah. And that's not what I want. I want more of just I want to make that out there look like a show.
Okay.
So
we're cool.
I mean, it does look like a show. There's vendors out there. We're out there.
Yeah, we're out. So. We don't count.
No, yeah. Big vendors.
The only vendor that matters is Switch.
Yeah. And they're not on the asphalt, so.
Yeah. Well, cool. Well, we made it. We made it through another one. Yeah. Episode, we don't know what episode this is.
Yeah.
We gave away the compressor. Even if this comes out. Wait. When are we giving away the compressors? When did we give away the compressors?
The 14th. So today we're talking right now. It's April 8th.
That's right. Because we were going to do it at your house
live
that Sunday after Havasu. Yep.
And we're going to record a
whenever this one comes out.
And we're going to record a podcast that day.
Yep.
On Sunday with Lindsay Freeman. And we're going to upload the Lindsay one. The plan is to upload the Lindsay one on the 15th. So just record it, upload it. And then we talk about her journey and then talk about her being at Mini Nats and how excited she is to go. Because the problem is we can't really, if we release that before or after Mini Nats, it's like, it's like, whatever.
No, it makes sense. No, it makes complete sense. And my problem of just logging into, that's fine.
My password doesn't work in Arizona, man.
It's only California. It's a California one. It stops right there.
My password is California is the best 1, 2, 3.
It's not far off. No, I'm just kidding. Well, anyway, whatever we got going on.
We will have audio stuff to give away.
Okay.
That should be getting either shipped to my house or a picture of what he's given. I talked to Chris from Allen Eds today, and it'll either be speakers and an amp or a double din again or something. So,
all right, bye.